Let's go back from the assembly. National Assembly for the Furtherance of Pharisaicalism. That's naff to you and me. Actually, there's a joke going around the assembly. How many Pharisees does it take to change a light bulb? And there was 100. One to actually change it, and 99 to talk about how good the old bulb was. See, we don't do change, us Pharisees. Well, I should say, those Pharisees. Because actually they've just resigned. Been thinking about it for a while. You see, it's not been easy because my father was a Pharisee, my grandfather was a Pharisee. I come from a long line of Pharisees. It's a family tradition, generation. I proudly proclaimed the faith. I've done my bit to keep the faith sound and pure. I've helped people in their search for God as I understood it. You should have seen my mum and dad the day I qualified. Beaming with pride they were. Got my silly hat on and my scroll in my hand and my gown on. Photographs there on the mantelpiece, private place in their living room. They're not going to take this very well, this resignation. But you see, I just have to. It's just Jesus, you see. You ever heard of him? Probably have. Like everybody else, you've probably heard of him and you're fascinated and you love him and especially the way he pokes fun at the Pharisees and ties us in theological knots. I wouldn't mind, but the guy's got no theological training and he's a carpenter's son from up north. You know, flat axe, whippets, pigeons, funny accent. There's that old line, isn't there? I've used it myself. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Of course, the M6 does. The best thing to come out from there. There's just something about him. It's not as if I haven't seen others before just like him, you know. Every generation has a Jesus. A new teacher, some new thoughts. So-called miracle workers. It's all done with mirrors, you know. Self-proclaimed messiahs set themselves up. But you see, they only last for 5 minutes because the Pharisees have got this special operations group. I'm on it. Well, I was on it. Sent out to take care of these shysters. It's usually easy. You can tie them in knots because they've not thought through what it is that... what it is they're saying, what it is they're doing. You make fools of them once or twice and then you never see them again. Not Jesus. I was sent out just a few weeks ago to him. The boss said, Eli, it's a big job. We need the best. You've got to get yourself to Galilee to sort out this latest imposter. He's good then. You'll have to be at your best. Some local lads had had a go, it seems, but they come back with their tails between their legs. So now he was sending the top. We caught up with him at a place called Gennesaret. Apparently he'd just come across the lake from the other side. On foot. On the water. Some big mirrors to do that, I reckon. Crowds surrounded him. It's amazing. All the world's dross. Sick. Sinners. Queuing up to touch his coat. And get a blessing from him. They knew then it was going to be a big job. Watched him for a while. And then spotted a way in. A weakness. There's always one somewhere. See, all this sickness, all these sinners around him. And his disciples were eating without washing their hands. Basic stuff. You're going to get contaminated, aren't you? all this uncleanness before you. Touching it, being in contact with it, you're going to get unclean. And then to eat food, without washing your hands, you're just going to be unclean before God. Basic stuff. So we moved in for the kill. I've got an account somewhere. I'll read it to you. It's called Matthew 15, verses 1 to 20. Now some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is now a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honor his father and mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean. But what comes out of his mouth, that's what makes him unclean." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them, they're blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." See, even reading it now, it unnerves me, but it excites me. He's overturned everything I've stood for all these years. On the one hand, he's pulled the rug out from under me, but on the other hand, he's given me a hope like I've never felt before. I'm still amazed when I think about it. See, we went in on such sure ground. This ceremonial hand washing's been a tradition for ages. I mean, it's common sense, isn't it? Some things are unclean. That's a given. God said so in his word. You know, animals with trotters, insects, your wife for a few days of the month, every month, or after she's given birth. And God says avoid contamination with these things. And so, washing's just the next step, isn't it? Surely. You can't avoid contamination. I mean, you sit on a chair in a building like this. You don't know who sat there last week. They may have been unclean. Chances are, you're unclean. So it makes sense, doesn't it, to wash your hands. Because that uncleanness gets inside you. Okay, the washing got a bit elaborate. I mean, the ritual's gone a bit over the top, I suppose. But it's just about showing God how serious you are about your faith. You're showing God how keen you are to be clean before him. You're showing him how good you are and how good you can be so that he'll love you. Actually, you don't look too impressed. It's a sound enough argument to win over most of those shysters. But Jesus, well, he just kept moving the goalposts. Clever. He just moved the focus from from him breaking the traditions, which is where we started when we asked him the question, to us breaking God's word by following the traditions. And he's right, of course. To be honest, I'd always felt uncomfortable about this practice that he talked about. Do you know the one? It's usually those with money who do it. They've got money and they want more money. You know, they're never satisfied. And they don't want to waste any money on caring for their elderly parents. And you see, nursing homes are so expensive, aren't they? So they invoke this temple oath. You pledge everything you've got to God. You declare all your belongings are devoted to God. And the beauty of it is, you see, it doesn't kick in until you die. And on that day, all your estate passes to the temple. The temple are rubbing their hands. And until then, it's yours to use as you want. And the more you make in your business, the more the temple gets. So they're happy. And the parents, well, they just have to fend for themselves. And when Jesus said those words, I felt the breath just sucked out of my lungs. Thus you nullify the word of God about honouring your mother and father for the sake of your tradition. And he put his finger right on the heart of it. I'd been uncomfortable about it, but I couldn't see any way around it. Well, we all do it, don't we? We've all got traditions. Then he called us hypocrites. Actors, if you will. You know the sort, don't you? Those actors who walk around and they've got two masks, a smiling one and a sad one. Do you know? And it doesn't matter what they feel like inside, they just go like that. And suddenly they're smiling all over the place. And then they go like that. And suddenly they're sulking all over the place. Hypocrites, that's what the word is. They smile. Or they're sad. On the outside. No one knows what's going on the inside. And when he quoted Isaiah, I felt the blood drain from my face. Of course. Why hadn't I seen it before? These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Suss me out. I wanted to fall at his feet then, to touch his coat and get some of that blessing that others were getting. I was convicted. I knew what he said was true. This thudding realization, me, Eli the Pharisee of a long line of proud Pharisees and a member of the special operations group who religiously did everything down to the last detail to show God how good I could be and how clean I could be before him. I was a hypocrite. I'm a sinner. And ashamed before God. Anyway, before we could even speak or move or think about what to do or what to say, Jesus called the crowd to him. And he said, listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth doesn't make him unclean. What comes out of a man's mouth, that's what makes him unclean. And I'm still thinking about this when his disciples came over. Some of my fellow Pharisees, it seems, were harumphing and expostulating, fit to bust. Jesus had a few words to say about them. I'll come back to that in a minute. One of the disciples, a big, hairy-nosed fisherman called Peter, asked Jesus to explain what he meant about this unclean thing. And you heard what he said, didn't you? He said, are you still dull? Still so dull? Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And that's what makes a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. but eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. And I realized then, this isn't just some peripheral tradition that's at stake here. This isn't just about hand washing. This is a fundamental question about the human condition as we stand before God. It's not hand washing, it's heart washing. You see, it's not about being clean on the outside and showing God how good you can be. It's about being clean on the inside. It's fundamental. See, I've been taught all my life that basically I'm a good person. But I get contaminated by things from the outside. And the way to get clean, the way to get close to God, is to do those things that impress God. To wash your hands ritually. To pray 5 times a day. To observe to the last detail all the traditions of the elders and the Pharisees. And I have. And I do. And I wear phylacteries on my head with little bits of God's word in there. And I've got scriptures nailed to the doorpost at my house. Because he says to do that. I give exactly 1/10 of everything. Everything that I earn. I'm never late for worship. I do all these things religiously. And you know what? I'm still empty on the inside. Still feel miles away from God. Still dirty. Jesus was right. Here in my heart, evil thoughts, vile words. Even on the way home from Capernaum to Jerusalem, woman driver, cut right in front of me, no signal. I nearly hit her. Good job I wasn't in the faster pony that day. I called her every name under the sun, and then some. And I realized, again, Jesus is right. It's in there. Everything I've ever stood for, everything I've lived my life by, a charade. I've been blind all these years. What he said is a nice line, wasn't it? The blind leading the blind. Well, not anymore. I see now. And I see what I've got to do. The others? Well, when we got back, there was a big debate at the assembly. They're plotting to stop him somehow. And they will. Somehow. Me? Well, I'm back off up the M6. Jesus didn't explain here how I could get clean on the inside. I wonder what kind of new sacrifice it's going to be that's needed to take away sin. Well, I hope to join him. And I hope to learn from him. If they don't kill him first.